Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. What a blessing. What a blessing to be in the house of the Lord with people who love the Lord, to hear all the testimonies, to hear the very worship go up and get to be a part of that. Oh, I'm edified. I'm edified. I'm blessed. You feel blessed tonight? Oh, I'm blessed. Y'all have blessed my soul, and we have blessed the Lord. Because why? Because our mind was on Him. Our focus was on Him. He blessed us with His Son. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings, the Word of God says. What a privilege it is to be, oh, in covenant relationship with Him. That's what we are. We're in covenant relationship with the Lord. Glory. Glory. You know, when the Lord's working and you're right there on the edge and watching Him do things that only He can do, it's just a little bit nervous to the flesh. Come on. It's exciting to our spirit, but a little bit nervous. There's some things happening that I don't think we even fully understand yet. There's some things that's being built. There's some bridges that are coming together and covering some things. I'm so excited to get to be a part of that. And it's so wonderful to be in church with so many people I hadn't got to be in church with, like Brother Jim in a long time, and Donnie, and Joyce, and Sister Debbie. I mean, it's just a blessing. I just see the Lord's hand in so many different people's lives and them getting to share what the Lord's doing in their life. Let's read just a few verses of Scripture in Romans chapter 5, if you would, and let's see what we can do with it. Romans chapter 5, very familiar verses of Scripture, but let's just start reading in verse number 14, if you would. Romans chapter 5, verse 14, and let's think about the grace of God, the covenant of God, in and out of these verses of Scripture because of Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse number 14. The Word of God says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." Verse 15. "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if though the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace," highlight that in your mind's eye, "the favor, the grace, the very unmerited that you and I have received from God, His unmerited grace, His mercy, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not so it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more, everybody say much more, they which have received abundance of," there it is again, "grace, God's favor, grace, and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ." Verse 18, "Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience there were many made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Pray with me. Father, we thank You for the truth of Your Word. We thank You for grace. We thank You for divine favor. We thank You, Lord, that You've extended to us Your Son, Jesus, and You have redeemed us from the curse of the law. Lord, and as we walk in the grace, Your grace which is sufficient, Lord, we start to understand and we start being set free from some things that would hurt, hinder. There's some provision that comes in our life that we didn't even know that was ours. And Lord, right now, by the Holy Ghost, Lord, give us utterance. By the Holy Spirit, help us be able to speak. Help us be able to hear. Let Your Word be settled down in our heart, just as Your Word is settled in heaven. And we thank You in advance for what You're going to do. And we believe, Lord, that out of this service, that a revelation, a vision of truly of Your grace and what it means to us will be made clear by Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. There's so much meat in these verses of Scripture. And there's so many different things we could look at. But thinking about grace, thinking about God's favor, I mean, in verse number 15, that last part, it says, the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. The free gift, the grace of God. You and I, because of Adam's sin, we were born in sin. Because of the very fall of man in the garden, here we are, and we were tainted by that sin. And that sin nature came upon us. But God looked, as you all know, and He said, I've got a plan. I've got a way. I've got a way to bring you out of that sin and to cause you to find favor. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Finding favor. You see, God's grace brought us to salvation. God's grace brought us here tonight. But that grace is also translated favor. We have the favor of God. And every time you and I are walking with the Lord, every time we come together, He wants us to find favor that we never knew was ours before. He wants us to find what it truly means in a deeper level to be saved. To be on our way to heaven, yes, but to be in the harvest field, working for Him, and knowing that everything He's doing in our life is for a purpose. It's for a very revelation of Jesus in and through our lives. Okay. Now, He said in verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall, not maybe, not possibly, shall reign in life. In life, right now. In life by one, Jesus Christ. So the grace of God says that you and I have been pulled out of ordinary life where we were at before. We've been pulled out of sin. We've been pulled out of being manipulated by the enemy. Things being stolen from us by the enemy. Being robbed because we didn't know what was ours. We didn't know what to do, which way to go. Now you and I, we have Jesus Christ on the throne of our heart. And we have the ability in Him to allow the power of God to cause us no longer to be the tail, but we're the head. We're a part of the very body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have a destiny, we have a future. So, the Lord started stirring this in our service last Sunday night. And so, we're going to go back in the Old Testament. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 9. And let's look at an example of what happens when we find favor. What happens? You see, you and I, we find something that's not even in our understanding, in our vocabulary. You see, right now, praise God, we've come to a little bit of understanding because we're saved and because we're here. But there's so much more. There's so much more that God has for us. And the way that we come to what He has for us is keep eating at the table of the Lord. Keep in the place of communion with Him and allowing Him to feed us and bring in our lives what we need. That being said, let's break down these verses of Scripture. This will be a little bit different because this is so good. It's so good, it's stirring in my spirit. I can't even understand exactly what all the Lord has for us. But I think this is the groundwork for something wonderful. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, let's just start reading in verse number 1. And David said, and of course David what? Being a type of Christ, right? He's a type of our Lord and Savior. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And David said, David's mind is what? His mind is on showing, because if you look at the 8th chapter, he saw the favor of God deliver him from his enemies. He saw God's favor in his life. And since that was in his life, he wanted to bestow that favor out. He wanted to remind people that he had made a covenant with Jonathan. And we don't have time to look at that. But he made a covenant with Jonathan and promised that he would keep Jonathan's lineage. He would keep it going. Because, you know, in reality, the lineage of Saul, they should all have been killed. Because, I mean, that's exactly what happened. But that didn't happen here, as the one that was left, as we'll read about in this moment of time, David was looking for him. Okay, that's like us. That's why we read what we read in the book of Romans. God is looking for us in every situation of life. We may be lost to the world. We may be even lost to ourselves in certain situations or certain things that's happening. But God is looking for you, looking for me to give us favor, to give us grace in every situation of our life, to cause us to be lifted up out of this flesh, lifted up from the attacks of the enemy, and allow us to be a part of the kingdom, a part of the ruling and the reigning in the Lord Jesus Christ. David said, is there anyone? And that's what God's always doing. Is there anyone who wants to partake of my grace? That wants to partake of my favor? I want to know because I got a covenant. David had the covenant with Jonathan. God's got the covenant with us. He's got a covenant for us. He's got a covenant of provision, of protection, of coming into our life and allowing everything that is ours in this Word to be manifested to us. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And notice, he said in the house of Saul. Saul was his enemy. Saul tried to kill him time and time again. But yet, what happened? Grace. Favor. You see, so many times you and I have turned our back on God in different situations. And the Word of God says, at one time we were enemies of God. But God's grace brought us back. Now we're no longer friends with the world, but we're friends with the Almighty God because we're part of the Father of faith in Christ Jesus through Abraham in that covenant that brings the what? The full blessings of the Word into our hearts, souls, and lives. Okay. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now let's think about that. And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. Now this Ziba, fully translated, it means station, statue, post. In other words, this guy ain't going anywhere. I mean, he's solid in what he wants, what his plan is, what his goal is. And if you take time to study his life out, it's all about him. Me, mine, and what I want. That's my mindset. That's my motto. So he's stationary in what he wants. But he comes to David and said, I'm your servant. You know, and if we had time to look at it, we'd see very well who he was serving, better said. Verse 3. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul? Now listen to this. Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show him the kindness, once again favor, the grace of God unto him? And Ziba said, now look at this. And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. Now what's Ziba doing here? He doesn't tell him his name. He talks to David in a way, hey, I know that David had a relationship with Jonathan. But he doesn't have a relationship with Jonathan's son. So I'm going to come to him this way. Yeah, he's got a son, but he's lame. In other words, whatever you're thinking, you better back the truck up because you're getting involved in something that you don't understand. When God wants to use us to bring grace to people, that's what the devil will come to you and say. He says, back up. You don't know what you're getting involved in. You're getting in over your head. You're getting involved in things that have been broken up for a long time, and the devil has a stronghold, and you better think about what you're doing before you do it. But you and I, we have found favor. And because we have found favor, there's favor to be sown out of our lives and to be received by other people. And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. That lame simply means smitten, okay? And the king said unto him. Now mark this down. Don't you love this? This is David's response. And this is the response of our Father in heaven. And the king said unto him, where is he? Now let's think about that. Where is he? Now, if I'm not careful, and I'm just going to be open and honest with you, if I was in that situation, my first question would be, what happened to him? What happened to him? How long has he been that way? What caused it? But the grace of God. the favor of God. Where is He?
That's right.
Where is He? I don't care what the world has done to Him. I don't care what the devil's done to Him. I love Him. I love Him, and I want to show Him favor, and I want to bring Him in where He can rule and reign in Christ Jesus. Instead of being the tail, I want Him to be a part of the head. Instead of Him being bound, I want Him to be free. Instead of Him being in confusion, I want Him to know the truth and the love of God. Where is He? Where is He? That's what the Holy Spirit is saying to us tonight. Where is He? Where's that person that I laid on your heart? Where's that person that I've been talking to you in the nighttime about? Where's that person that when you close your eyes, you see their face? You and I, we see them. And we say, yes, Lord, I see them. I see them. It doesn't matter what they're in. It doesn't matter how the devil has worked in their life. Your favor is greater than any mistake of the enemy. Your favor is greater than any mistake they've made. Your favor will make a difference in their life and will bring them from where they're at to where? To ruling and reigning in Christ Jesus, by Christ Jesus, because of the grace of God. Finding favor. That's where we're at. That's what we're working in. That's what we're living for. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. He is in the house of Machir. Now, as you know, we talked about it. Stuart's talked about it. Kim's talked about it. Different people's talked about it. Y'all may have talked about it in your home study time. Every word in the Bible means something.
Right.
It has a meaning behind it. He says that Jonathan's son is in the house of Machir. Machir, fully translated into English, would be salesman.
Come on.
He's in the house of the salesman. He has been sold. Sold into sin. Sold into believing a false bill of goods. And we'll break that down as the Holy Spirit leads us. He's been sold into believing some things that's not true. And there he is. But God's looking for him. Come on, what did Jesus do? Jesus left the 99 and he went looking for the one. And he brought him back, carried him on his own shoulders back into the fold. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the favor of God. And that's what you've been ordained, empowered, and called to do. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Amiel means people of God. Now think about this. This is an important thing. He's in the people of God, but he's in a place where he's been sold out. Now think about this, in Lodabar. Lodabar, you know what it means? It's two Hebrew words that means no pastor. No pastor. No covenant. No promise. Come on, he's been sold out. He's been left down in the world. He's all by himself. He doesn't have the promises of God. He doesn't know that God has a favor for him. He doesn't know that God has the grace that will fit his heart, soul, and life because he's been sold out and there he is. Today, the church of the living God, the people of God, you and I, it's time that we make a stand and we tell people that they're worth something. They're worth something. We're not going to sell out on anything, but we account them to be worthy because God counted us to be worthy. And we understand their value. Every person. God created them. And when He created them, He looked at them and He said, it is good. And when He created them, He said, you were created for my pleasure. Every person. Big or little. Tall or short. Come on now, rich or poor. Does not matter. God created them for a destiny. And the devil may have disrupted some things. The devil may have moved them to this and that. But guess what? God's favor is still there to take them where God has ordained them to be and to build them up in the truth of the Word of God and cause them to reign. Cause them to reign in Christ Jesus, by Christ Jesus, being a testimony of where God has brought them from, and where He's taken them to.
Right.
And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir. He's in the salesman, the son of Amiel, God's people, in Lodabar, the place of no pasture. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. He went to where he'd been sold out. He went to where there was no pastor, no promise, no covenant. You know where this Lodabar was? It was on the other side of Jordan. Come on, God's promises are after you cross over the Jordan, after you come into the promised land. That's where God's promises was. He was on the wrong side. But David went and fetched and brought him over there. You know what? In the book of Nehemiah chapter 5, Nehemiah chapter 9, it tells us this word is also translated by. B-U-Y. By. Jesus, He ransomed us back. Because of God's grace, we've been bought. A bought with a price of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very blood of the Lamb, which is so precious. That's how valuable you are. That's how valuable I am. So we see that, we understand that David fetched, being a type of Christ, a type of God's plan, a type of bringing the grace of God into work, He bought him back from the place where there was no promise, no pastor. And He's bringing him to Himself. God wants to bring us to Him like He's never brought us before. God wants us to be right around the throne. God, because what did He say? He gave instruction through the Apostle Paul. He said, come boldly.
Right.
Under the throne of grace,
right.
That you may find help in time of need. He wants us to stay there because the Lord, come on, we say boldly, the Lord is my helper.
Right. Amen.
So we come to that throne of grace, and we realize that's where God wants us to stay. He wants us to stay there, spiritually speaking, be empowered, have a vision, have the word, and go forth and give the favor that has been sold in our life into someone else's.
Right. Right.
Okay. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Oh, think about those meanings when we read those verses of Scripture. So powerful. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. Now this Mephibosheth means, as you fully translate the name, it means dispeller of shame. Now think about this. I love this. This means so much to you and I. Because when you and I were caught up in sin, when we were separated from God, the devil told us how shameful we were. And how much everybody looked down on us. And how God didn't want anything to do with us. And how everybody gave up on us. Come on now, but he's a type of the people finding God. And his name means the dispeller, the putting away of shame. That's what the blood of Jesus does when favor comes in your life. The shame of my sin, it's under the blood. Not it's under the blood, it's washed away. And I'm made righteous in Christ Jesus. You're made righteous in Christ Jesus. And it doesn't matter what was on my left. It doesn't matter what was on my right. What matters now is what's in my heart. And that's the blood of Jesus. That's the risen Savior. That's the Lamb of God. Come on now, hallelujah. So, Mephibosheth, here he is. He's been sold a bill of goods, thinking, oh, I'm just a mess up. I'm just a shameful person. I have no future. I have no destiny. Now, let's get this in our head and help us to understand what he's feeling as David is calling him in. Because you and I need to have an understanding as we are used by the Lord to call somebody else in. Okay? As I said earlier, Mephibosheth, all of his life, has been told, if David finds you, he will kill you. Because you're part of the old regime. You're a threat to his throne. Now that's not even so. And if you look in this same Samuel, if you look in 2 Samuel about 4:4, I believe it is, you'll see why he's lame. As Saul and Jonathan were killed, and the shifting of the covenant promise of David being going to be taking Saul's place, the one who took care of Mephibosheth fell. And as she fell, she caused him to be lame. It wasn't nothing he had done. It was brought on him. Come on now. But here he was all of these years living without a promise. Living without a covenant. Living in a place of no pastor. Sound familiar?
Come on.
And there he was, separated from everything that was going to be brought into his life because of the bill of goods he'd been sold.
Mm-hmm.
And here he is, all of a sudden, he's called back into David.
Mm-hmm.
He's called back into God. You and I, we're being called back continually into God. And as we're called back, we're to bring those others with us who haven't had the richness of relationship that you and I have had. Okay. He said, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not. That's our God. Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness, favor, grace. That's what the word is. I'll show thee grace for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. I'm going to show kindness. You see, you and I were saved by the grace of God, the kindness of God. It's nothing about what you or what I can do or can't do. And so we stop allowing the enemy to attack us on our wisdom, our knowledge, our ability. And we just say, I'm saved by grace. I'm saved by grace. I witness by grace. I testify by grace. I sing by grace. Whatever I do by the grace of God. Because I found favor. And I'm going to rest in the Lord. And I'm going to lay back my head in His bosom. And I'm going to commune with Him. And the favor of God is going to propel me forth. Now do you see now why Ziba there was reading about in 2 and 3 and all those things, why he didn't want Mephibosheth to come to this place of understanding? He's controlling what should have been Mephibosheth's, he's controlling it. All of Saul's fields, all of Jonathan's fields, everything, he's controlling. He's getting the income out of it. Now think about this. This means something. It's not just history. It's today. If you and I don't come and find the favor of God and see what God has for us and walk in that realm, the devil is keeping from us the goodness of God, the fullness of God. And he's working on that. And he's benefiting from the things that you and I should be benefiting from. Come on now. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. The devil don't want you and I to have the fullness of what is ours. We've got an inheritance.
Yes, we do.
Mephibosheth had an inheritance that had been taken away from him. And it was being used by somebody else. Come on, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But you and I were in Christ Jesus to have life and to have it more abundantly. To have the fullness of salvation. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land, glory, of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Amen. Shall eat bread at my table. The food of the Lord. You know, I don't know if it was Solomon. Don't think so. But in the book of Proverbs, you know, the prayer is, hey, Lord, give me food that is convenient for me. What I need. He said, unless I starve and I go and steal, you know, and disgrace your name, or unless I become basically a glutton and I go in the other way in a bad testimony, he said, I want the food that is convenient for me. At God's table is the food that is just right for you. It's just right for me. That will cause us to grow in the favor of God. That cause us to grow in the grace of God. That will cause us to be exactly what Mephibosheth should have been. A dispeller of shame. Which ultimately was a stopper of idols, if you fully translate the name. There's some idols in the world today. And God's favor, His grace, is the only thing that can tear those idols down. And God wants to use you to tear down everything that people are putting faith in other than Him. Other than Him.
Amen. Amen.
And he bowed himself. Verse number 8. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? We know who we are without Christ, but we need to call ourselves what we are in Him. Verse 9, Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son, in other words, he was Saul's servant, I've given unto thy master's son all that pertains to Saul and to all his house. Come on. Come on. When the devil comes and he tries to reach into your life, into my life, and start dilly-dally with what God's gave us, we say, No. No, you don't, in the name of Jesus. because I have been given this by the Lord God Almighty because of the grace of God. You cannot touch it. You can't have a part of this because it's precious. It come from the table of the Lord. It come from the hand of God working active in my life. Get out in the name of Jesus. Come on now, you've got to know what your covenant rights are. You and I are to rule and reign in life. Not in heaven, in life. In life in Christ Jesus. That's in the here and now. And the only way that will happen is if we know the Word of God. And the grace of God is what enables you and I to stand in that Word.
Amen.
And therefore, thou therefore and thy sons, verse 10, and thy servants shall till the land for him.
Yes.
Come on. We can't do this on our own. But God wants to put people to work that were once against us to work on our behalf.
That's right. That's right.
People have said things against us. They've worked against us. But God says, my favor. Come on now. My favor will bring a table, as we looked at this morning, prepared for you even in the midst of your enemies. That's the grace of God. That's the favor of God. God can make your... The Word of God says when your ways please Him, that even your enemies are at peace with you. That's what the favor of God will do. It will turn that. It will turn that and it will make it right. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. And thou shalt bring in the fruits of glory, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son shall eat bread always at my table. Oh, what a promise. Now look at this. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Okay, the number of sons and the number of servants, it tells us the size of the land that we're talking about. Okay, that gives us an idea. This is a vast situation that is being robbed from Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son. It's been taken away from him. And right here they tell us this so we can get a glimpse of that, but it also tells us for a reason. He said 15 sons and 20 servants. The number 15 in biblical numerics, Bible numbers, means rest. The number 20 means redemption. You add them together, you got what? You got 35. And that means basically rest in redemption. This is what happens. This is why we know that we're talking about that God wants to bring back into our life by His favor the things that were lost, the things that was being controlled by the devil. Tonight, He does not have a legal right to touch your finances. He doesn't have a legal right to touch your family. He doesn't have a legal right to touch your body. And He's a liar, and He wants to convince us that He does, but we see and from the Word of God, He don't. The favor of God causes us to rule and reign. The favor of God causes us to stand strong in the truth of who we are by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Verse 11. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my Lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Verse 12. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. Had a young son whose name was Micah. Now let's think about this now. Micah, fully translated, it has to do with God. Okay, the people of God, but the glory of God, the power of God. We can look at it in many different ways. Meaning what? His offspring, his future, his destiny, his testimony of what his life was saying was changed from a shameful situation to my prodigy, my future is that I have something of God coming out of my life. Come on, I've got something of God that is number one in my life, that is being presented, that my lineage will go on. In other words, my works, my very call in the Lord, it's going to go forth. Glory, glory, glory. You see, it's a lie what the devil said. No, it's been changed by the grace of God, the favor of God. I know what my destiny was without Him, but now I know what my works, my future. I know what's coming because of the grace of God, the plan of God, the will of God.
Amen.
And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth.
That's right.
See the flip-flop here?
Uh-huh.
God goes into great detail, and I pray with all my heart that someday we'll get to study it as a church. Not preach it, but study it and see about the blessing of Abraham and see the blessings of Deuteronomy 28 and see and understand the cursings of Deuteronomy 28 and see how you and I are changed from being cursed to being blessed. How we're changed from being the servant to being the one who is ruling and reigning because of the grace of God, because of Jesus in our life. Who is like to the God? That's basically what we could even say that his son's naming. Who is like God? Who is like God? There's none like God. You and I, tonight we talked about it. We lifted up him, whether it was in testimony, whether it was in song, and we're saying, who is like our God? Because the favor of God is in our life. Okay. Verse 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, and he did eat continually at the king's table. Come on now. And he was lame on both of his feet. And Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem. He dwelt in Jerusalem. Jerusalem means founded on peace. It's kind of an oxymoron because we don't see peace there now. But God says it's founded on peace. And guess what? It's going to be peaceful. Because the Prince of Peace, his feet is going to touch down on the Mount of Olives. We're going to see that mountain dissolve. It's going to split right in half. And it's going to be exactly what God said in the Word it would be. But he was founded on peace continually. And he was eating from the table of God. The next time the devil says you have no peace, what are you going to say? You see, it's about how we react to the trouble. How we react and speak in the tribulation, in the temptation, in the persecution, in all the battles of life. Because the Word will always direct us and keep us from falling. The Word will always make us an overcomer. Okay. I'll close with this thought. We can look at some other stuff, but I'll close with this thought. There was a man in New York City. He was a judge all through the Depression and through the World War II era. He was a Christian man. And he seen the hardship of the people in that city. And he decided that some of the people in night court, they weren't getting a fair shake. And so he switched it was easier on him, his job, to go and fill in night court, and to kind of get an idea of what was going on. As he did, one of the first cases that he looked at, there was a woman. She was a widow lady. She had kids. And she was there because she had stole a loaf of bread. And they weighed the case back and forth before him. And, you know, the guy who owned the store, he wouldn't dismiss the charges. And so the judge had no choice, but he had to say the sentence. And the sentence of that time would have been 10 days or $10. These kids didn't have nobody to take care of them. But he had to follow the law. Now listen to me, this means something. He had to follow the law. He had to follow the law. 10 days, $10. What does he do though? He reaches in his pocket and he hands her $10. That's grace. That's favor. There's a law of God and there's things that God can do, but he can't go outside of his Word. But his favor and grace is at work in our life, but we've got to know what the Word says. Okay, he handed that to her. But he knew that that was not going to take care of her situation because that would just what? That would just take care of her fine. She's still in need. So what does he do? He looks across the group of people. You've got police officers. You've got this one who's bringing the charges against her. You've got people who are up on other cases that's coming after her. Pardon me, after her. And all of a sudden, he thinks about it just for a moment and he says, bailiff, fine every person here 50 cents because they live in a city where a woman has got to steal bread to feed her kids.
Praise the Lord.
Now think about this. They brought the money in. It was $47. And this true story. $47.50. And even the man who brought the charges against her brought 50 cents to her. Come on, that's favor. That's grace. Okay, that's what God wants to do in our life. He wants to do something that's so amazing that we can't even see it. We can't even think about it. I mean, as she stood there before the judge, there's no way that she could think about that. What does the Word of God say? Ephesians 3:20. But our God is able to do what? Exceedingly abundantly above all we can think or ask. Paraphrase. Come on. That's our God. So what grace do you need tonight? What favor do you need tonight to see something happen? Don't limit God by leaning to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and believe the Spirit of God will show you the favor that you need to bring to pass your heart's desire. What God has placed there Himself. Come on, God does that. Those things that we have in our life, they're from Him. If it's something that's good, it comes straight from Him. So why would He not work it? Why would He not move it in our hearts, souls, and lives? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You that because of You, we can find favor. Because of You, You have called us out, and You want us to sit at Your table continually. We don't have to make it on our own. We don't have to figure it out. Because as we eat from Your table, Your grace comes in our life. Favor leads us. Favor encourages us. Favor brings faith. Gives us an understanding, a vision of Your will and Your plan. Father, right now, under the sound of my voice, by Your Holy Spirit, there's decisions that need to be made. Yes, Lord, there's decisions that need to be made. And people are fixing to make certain decisions according to the way it looks to them. Lord, help us not to lean to our own understanding. Help us not to trust in You, but help us walk in Your favor. You know what the need of every person here is. You know what You've laid on their heart. Lord, let that door, by Your favor, be opened to bring in their life exactly what their desire is, but ultimately what You're sowing in their life. Oh, we'll be careful to give You the praise for it. We thank You in advance, expecting, believing, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Are you here tonight and this message has spoke to you in any way? If it has, come and just spend some time around these altars with the Lord. I don't want to limit by putting this or that on it, but the Lord, by His Spirit, is speaking to different people about different things. And if He's speaking to you, respond. And as you respond and open up your heart and lay it on that altar, know that in faith, when your heart touches Him, that what you're looking for, what you need, the answer, it will be brought by the Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Whatever, there's somebody that something is going on in their life right now, and the devil has convinced them, the flesh has convinced them, this is a bad thing. Let the Lord tell you what is true. What the Lord told in your life is there for a purpose and a reason. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody need prayer for anything? Don't leave here without taking anything and everything to the Lord. No, the Lord, you just look at Him. Running to and fro in the earth.
Look
to who He can bless. Look to who He can answer a prayer. There's nothing too big. Nothing too little. And we said there's nothing that you can't ask. Because what did Jesus say? Jesus said, He said, there's a coming a day when you're going to ask the Father in my name. And when you ask in my name, the Father will do it, that what? That He may be glorified in the Son. And so we can ask in the name of Jesus. And we can expect, because you and I were asking, when we ask in the name of Jesus, it's according to the will of the Father. Come on, He said, if you ask anything according to my will, it shall be done unto you.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Anybody need prayer for anything? Anybody got a testimony?
I certainly have a testimony. The Lord has again tonight changed my life, my heart, and my soul. He's put back in me the love that once was in there that I've been searching for so long. And something's happened here. He filled me with the Holy Spirit. Just a while ago, speaking in other tongues.
Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you,
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
It's like that.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for you to.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
I just can't get enough of it. I love that feeling when the Lord is with me, you know. I desire that feeling more often, you know. Thank you.
Yes.
I can't thank you enough, you know.
Lord.
I can't thank you enough.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank
you. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Okay, I was just going to say, like, over there when you're on the top fingers on here, and I've been dealing with some of my sciences and stuff, and we kind of caught up going over there. And as I stepped over there, I felt the Spirit was so strong, everything, like, all of a sudden the sciences is just clear. Like, that. It was crazy. That's, like, the craziest feeling in the world.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord.
Thank you for bringing me up. Everything's done for me. Making me feel so good and so wonderful, and I'm with you.
Amen.
Oh,
that gets started now. Thank you, Jesus. But it feels so good and so wonderful. Yes. I want to feel like it's all the time.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, tomorrow or the next day, you know, the enemy comes against your flesh. The flesh is going to rise up. And that feeling that we're feeling now may not be there where we can feel it, but it's there.
Yes,
it's there. Because the promise of Jesus is, Matthew chapter 28, He said, what? I'll never leave you, forsake you, but I'll go with you always, even into the end of the age, the end of the world.
Yes.
That's the promise.
That's
so
right.
No matter what we're feeling like,
that's right.
And what Stuart called this morning,
yes.
He's in.
Yes.
He's in. So, feelings, you're lying to me. You know what I mean? When we start feeling negative or doubtful or sad or blue or whatever it might be, feelings you're lying to.
Right.
And I command you in the name of Jesus to turn back into the positive,
yes.
Not the negative. We are ruling and reigning in our own life,
right.
By Christ Jesus.
That's right.
By Christ Jesus. And that's how it starts.
Yes.
In the simplest of things.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Glory. Anybody have anything else to say? Or you know, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one mind and one accord. And that's what the Lord's doing. He's working us together where we love each other by the Spirit of God, or we trust each other by the Spirit of God, and we're His mind. Because the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 16, that you and I have the mind of Christ. And so that mind is in there, and we're starting to work in that together, walk in that together. And when that happens, that's the one mind. That's the one accord. And that's when the Holy Spirit comes down in a way that this is just a sample.
That's right.
This is the beginning, because there are going to be people in these pews who don't understand anything about Jesus, and they're going to feel the drawing of the Spirit of God, and Jesus is going to be lifted up before them, and they're like, you're not going to say a thing to them. I'm not going to say a thing to them. They're going to get these altars.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, their life will be changed. Why? Because you're being obedient now.
That's right.
Being obedient now.
God's working and building together, and it's coming. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, it's up to y'all.